Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Welcome to His Tabernacle Family Church. How y'all doing today? Thank you, Dean.
You look good, Dean. How you doing, man? Good.
Guys, that's Dean. He's a great guy.
How y'all doing?
Y'all doing well?
All right. Craig.
What about over here? Y'all doing well?
Good.
All right, so first service, I had everybody turn to their neighbor. So we're going to do it again. So turn to your neighbor, say neighbor.
Say neighbor.
How y'all doing? My name's Isaiah. Nice to meet you. All right. Nice to meet you, Pastor Aaron. It's great to meet you. Who's ready to worship? Who's ready to praise? Yo, Dean's on fire. All right, so we're about to tell somebody. We're about to tell people of the goodness of God, how great He is, how mighty He is. Come on and sing, tell somebody.
Tell somebody about Jesus. How He set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
I want to hear you sing it. Come on, say.
Tell somebody about Jesus.
Come on and sing.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Come on and sing that again. Say.
There is power, wonder-working in the blood.
A little bit louder, say,
victory is mine, victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, victory today is mine.
Come on, tell about three people that victory is yours. Pastor Aaron. Victory is mine.
No, victory is mine, Isaiah.
It's ours.
It's right. Ours.
Kinsey, victory is mine. All right. Did y'all tell three people? All right, let's tell somebody else. Say.
Tell somebody about Jesus. How He set you free. Gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Come on, say that one more time. Say,
tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the
Come
Lord.
Come on and say, there is power.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the
Come
Lamb.
Come on, say, there is healing.
There is healing, healing, wonder-working healing in the blood of the Lamb. There is healing, healing, wonder-working healing in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Come on and say, victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Yeah.
Victory is mine.
Say victory.
Victory today is mine. Joy is mine, joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind.
Say,
joy today is mine.
Come on, I want to hear the audience say, joy is mine.
Joy
is mine. Come on, what'd you tell the enemy? What'd you tell him? Come on, a little louder, say,
joy today is mine.
I like that. Come on, one more time, say,
joy is mine, joy is mine, joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, joy today is mine.
Come on, let's finish this, say,
tell somebody about Jesus. How he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Last time, with everything you got, say,
tell somebody about Jesus. How he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who wants more of God? If you want more of God, I need you to lift one hand. And then I need you to lift the other. And I just want you to literally let God know how much you want him. How much you need him today. How much you need a breaking. How hungry you are today. Now just leave your hands lifted and let's worship our Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I see a crowd today that's hungry, that wants Jesus, that says, I'm ready to dive into your presence, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This world could never satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry, when all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. No, I'm not waiting. Not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry and all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. Whoa, I'm coming back to your presence, Jesus. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me.
I am desperate. Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I'd fall apart, 'cause you're the one that guides my heart. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. And Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. 'Cause Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.
rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. And Jesus, you're my hope and stay. 'Cause Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
Evident in our lives, the more we understand who you are, the more we need you. God, you fulfill every need that's in our life. Lord, from that longing inside to be belonging and to be accepted, all the way, Father, to every need that comes to our doorstep. Father, I thank you that you meet us spiritually. That, God, we can call you Father. That, God, we can call you our King. Lord, we thank you that you touch us physically. There is no sickness or disease that's allowed in our bodies in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that every time we go into bondage and we cry out, you deliver us. Yeah. You are so faithful, God. And we love you this morning and thank you. We realize, Lord Jesus, without any reservation, I need thee. I need thee every single hour.
Yeah.
I think more than I've ever realized before, the more mature I become, the more mature I become, I realize I need God now more than ever before. You get this when you're young, woo, baby, you're going to keep yourself from a lot of hurts, amen? Want God with all you got. Go after God with all you have. In fact, let's be honest, every one of us have as much of Jesus as we want right now. For the Bible says, for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So you're filled as much with God as you desire. So I'm praying that God's going to give you more hunger, amen? I'm praying that he's going to give you more desire. I'm praying that God's going to just flood your spirit so that every day, every hour, you can't go by without lifting your hands and saying, Lord Jesus, the very breath that's in my lungs, I give you praise, whether it's at work, at Walmart, in the store, whether it's driving down the street, it's going to just come right out of your life. Amen. I need you, Lord. I need you. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you find at least 5 people you don't know and tell them, I need God. Make a confession so powerful. I need God. Go find 5 folks that you don't know and tell them, I need God. Come on now, go find somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say, I need God.
everybody, grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss. To see you at a group, and y'all gotta get as psyched as she is because there's food, there's family, and there's fellowship. Isn't that right, Abby?
That's right. Oh. We want to see you at your local campus's information center. We'll see you there.
Hey, are you new to His Tabernacle? Listen, we have a class just for you. It's called Growth Track. We want to help you connect with the family here at His Tabernacle, help you grow up and discover what God can do through you.
How are we doing today? Woo. Good morning, Pastor Spencer. It's great to hear you. Awesome. We want to welcome all of our first-time guests. If you are a first-timer here in the building and you have not received a gift, if you would please raise your hand nice and tall. I see a couple over here, one over there, right over here in the third row, right here, third row, red shirt next to Megan. She's new. Right here in the front row, right next to Miss Tara. There's one in the back section. Wow. There's some over here, right up here, Miss Darlene, like fourth row next to Dean. Those y'all right there. There we go. Cool. We want to welcome you guys. And right after service over here on my left, your right, we have a guest reception room where we want to hang out. We want to get to know you, eat some donuts, drink some coffee, get to know you, Miss Darlene. All right. She'll come back with more. She'll get more and she'll come back. That's cool. We want to get to know you. So please check out the guest reception room, walk towards the bathroom, take a left down the hallway. You'll see people. It's a place to be. Also, November 3rd, we are having a very good friend, Chris Estrada, come and preach. He's come to the Uproar Conference. He's amazing. I promise you don't want to miss that service. Invite all your friends. Pack the house out because it's going to be the best service we've heard in a while. Also, right after you, Pastor. Best right after you. Also, November 1st and 2nd, we have a Freedom Weekend. This is the second one we've had. Last one we had was amazing. It's great. Come experience God in a new and a deeper way with us. Spots are limited, so please go out to the info center today, ask questions, sign up, get here. You don't want to miss that either. Also, who saw the announcement for Harvest Fest? Or who here knows that we do Harvest Fest every October 31st? Listen, this is the most fun event we do in the church, I promise you. Not just because I organize it, but because kids come in and they leave with gallons of candy. However, I need candy donated. We need candy donated. We, at all three campuses, are expected to give out over 40,000 pieces of candy. And that's just the bare minimum, because our senior leader, Pastor Rhonda, she says we are a very generous church, and if you only give out like four pieces of candy, she'll walk up next to you and she'll dump like half the bag, and she's like, no, we give them extra. So, in order to give them extra, we need to have extra. So, if 100 of you go out to Walmart today and buy a bag of candy, which there's like 250 pieces for like $9.95, and I know most of you spend that much on a coffee a day at Dunkin', so, you know, sacrifice coffee for one day, sow into the kids, and let's bless the socks off these guys, because the kids deserve to have fun. The kids deserve to know that in the house of God we have fun and we're safe and we're protected and we get blessing, okay? So, now, Pastor Rhonda is coming out to do the offering for you.
Come on out. So this morning for our time of tithes and offerings, there is nothing better than the testimonies that happen right here in the house. We get to hear them all the time, and I love getting to share with you the testimonies. If you want to help me with the blessing, we'll do that after. We'll let Sam tell his testimony first.
All right, so a few months ago, I've been hearing like a lot of pastors over my life say, don't sow from where you are, sow from where you want to be, and tithe from where you want to be. So about a month and a half ago, I decided that I was going to take my tithe that I was normally making, and I'm going to double it because I want to be making double what I'm making right now. And about 3 weeks later, I've been looking for a job full-time for months, been putting in applications. 3 weeks later, I'm praying, and 5 minutes after I pray, I get a phone call from a guy who was a manager at a hotel that I didn't even know he worked there. He's like, I saw your application. I want to interview you today. Got interviewed, hired on the spot, and now I'm making more than what my double tithe could cover.
That's what the Word of God says in Malachi 3, that if you tithe, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And it happens every day, all the time, in the kingdom of God. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. So we're going to make our supernatural declaration that Sophia would like to help me with today. So if you'll stand to your feet, if you're ready to give. We just share from the Word of God. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Oh, she wants to add wealthy in this declaration. She wants to add wealthy. So she wants us to declare that we are going to be wealthy. Amen. God desires prosperity in His children. All right, so are you ready to do this? If you'll just repeat after us, if you repeat after Sophia.
I am blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. Blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God.
I'm wealthy. Say, come on and bring your tithes and offerings.
Come on and bring your tithes and offerings up.
If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
How was that? Tell somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. Set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Tell somebody about Jesus.
How He set you free.
Are awesome. You do such a good job. How's everybody doing this morning? Blessed and highly favored, of course. I am froze to the bone. We appreciate your tithe in the house. We can turn the heat on now. Josiah Skinkle. So my wife and I have the privilege and honor of taking a special offering for our senior pastors. This month we are celebrating pastor appreciation, and this is something that is done across the nation. And our goal today is that our pastors are the most blessed at the end of this day than any other pastor that people are doing this for, okay? So, I am going to jump right into Scripture, all right? So, I'm going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control. See how I exercised self-control there and then put a comma after exercise? I wouldn't do that to him. He must live wisely. He must have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, not love money, and he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own home, how can he take care of God's house? I'm going to jump right into chapter 5, verse 17. And the Bible says, elders who do their work well should be well respected and paid well, especially those who are hardworking at both preaching and teaching. We've compared their lifestyle. This isn't just a show they put on. We've compared their lifestyle to the Word of God. Okay? So with that, the New King James Version says that they are worthy of double honor. And that is huge to recognize. Yes, absolutely. Because of their lifestyle and even the church staff, even their staff, their children, they all flow in the same 1 Timothy chapter 3 here. Everything lines up with the Word, and I'm proud to be a part of this. 1 Thessalonians 5. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peaceably with each other. So I'm going to let you.
This is an awesome privilege to have pastors like this. But there's different levels that you can have. There's different levels that are available to you that you can participate in if you would like. They can be your pastors, which means their job is to watch over you biblically, but they can also be your spiritual mother and your spiritual father, and that goes to another level of honor. Our God functions on seed time and harvest and honor, which is what he taught on is a lost art. Honor is a lost art. So we get the opportunity to do that today. A lot of you, this is your first church. You've never experienced another church aside from this. I have experienced churches. We have experienced churches since we were little. This church is not normal. Okay? I never saw anyone get saved in the churches I grew up in, not one time. I was never healed in any of the churches I went to. Very rarely. I think I felt the presence of God at my parents' house, not at church. That's how I knew God was from my parents, which I honor them today as well. Honor should be levels of respect. But the presence of God that you feel and can expect to feel on a Sunday morning is an honor and a gift. And that's because they lay down their lives Monday through Saturday, submitting to the Holy Spirit and making sure that what he read they're doing, because they're still people. And sometimes we can be mean to them. They have to lay down, they have to adhere to what the Word says. So let's honor them today with a gift. And God is the best gift giver. He gave us Jesus so that we could live and have life. So let's be Christ-like and bless them and honor them with our best gift. Are you going to talk about seating? Yeah.
So as we honor them and we've shown them worthy of the call, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth." So not only are we called to honor them, it's a commandment, but through this commandment, Jesus is saying, I promise to give you blessings and long life in your life as well. So this is a privilege to do this alone. But then we're also rewarded for what we do. In Deuteronomy 30, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity," I said the P word in church, I did, prosperity, it's okay, all right, "prosperity and disaster, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are about to enter. You can obey him, and committing yourself firmly to him, this is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, stepping into the blessing of Abraham is a completely different teaching, but there's blessing in everything that we do. But first, we want to honor Pastor Mike and Pastor Rhonda as our spiritual parents, and we want to do the same for you. So prepare your hearts right now to hear from the Holy Spirit of what he wants you to give. And I really challenge you to give something that is great, that you're going to feel leave, because that is an act of honor. And when you feel it leave, you're going to feel that blessing come back to you, okay? So I'm going to pray, you're going to listen, and then you're going to obey, and then we'll bring the offerings up to them and just bless their socks off, okay? In the name of Jesus only, Father, I pray that you speak to the hearts of the people here. Your presence was strong first service. Your presence was strong second service. Father, we are a house that is hungry for you. We are here to obey you, and we're here today especially to just honor and appreciate the authority that you have placed in this home. Father, I wouldn't be here and where I am at today in my life without the pastors obeying what you called them to do, Father. We see the great leaders that come into this place, Lord, but our senior pastors are the one that bring them in, and we thank you for that. Speak, Holy Spirit. I rebuke anything that would hinder what you're saying to your people, Father. I pray supernatural increase. In Jesus' mighty name, we hear you and we obey and we give joyfully in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So go ahead and bring your gifts to the front.
Somebody about Jesus,
how he set you free, gave him the victory.
Tell somebody about Jesus,
how he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus, tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free, gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Amen. You might need to chase him out the door. Praise the Lord.
Amen. My wife and I just want to say thank you so much for allowing us to be your pastors. This is a phenomenal church.
Amen.
You are amazing people. In fact, we always tell the guests come in here and they always say, Pastor, this is a strange, unique church.
In a good way.
That's a good way. But I always say it's because of the people. The people are, you are. Can you turn to someone and say, you're an amazing individual. It's true. You're an amazing church. I wasn't sure if it was a bomb. I was going to throw myself on it. Amen. You got something to say?
No, we just really love you all. And it is a joy to get to be your pastors. And we do love the honor and privilege. And it is just a blessing to be pastors in this house with all of you. You truly are the best part.
You really are. You are the best. Can you turn and say, you're the best. If you're the best family, you just say your name. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to pray over your seed.
Yes.
And just bless it back to you.
Now, many of you don't know, this is not a holiday we do here at His Tabernacle. This is a holiday all over the United States of America. And they do it throughout the month of October, Pastor's Appreciation. So we thank you for sowing into our lives. You know, we believe that we are good ground, principles of God. And if you sow, then you shall reap. Amen. So we're going to pray the blessings of God as you gave. Father, we just speak right now over the seed that they sowed into our lives. Lord, we speak blessing back to them in Jesus' name. Bring it back 30, 60, 100 fold. Lord, some need a quick harvest. I pray for a quick harvest so that they can see sowing is the will of God. Sowing is the way to bring forth harvest. So, Lord, we just speak blessing over their seed in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. We have a skit for you. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Cole. What's your name?
Nice to meet you. My name's Det.
Det. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You look like a really, really smart young man.
You know, I mean.
You have any plans for your future or anything?
I mean, you know, I really have a lot of goals that I want to achieve before I retire. You know, I got like a 25-year plan step by step.
Wow.
You know, I just met with Miss Carla. You know, she took me through financial peace.
Wow.
I think I'm ready to tackle
this. That is
a
good idea.
Yeah, it is.
You're further ahead than a lot of people at your age having a 25-year plan.
25.
Hey, you know what you would look really good in?
Hmm.
A Maserati.
Ooh, chill. Ooh.
You would look great in a Maserati. Don't you agree?
I mean, yeah, but...
I think it was you could get some girls in a Maserati. You want to know how to get one?
How do I get one? I mean, come on now, listen. I don't make enough money to get a Maserati.
You know what? It doesn't
matter
if you don't make enough money because the payments are only like $750 a month with like 60% interest. But over the course of like 30 years, you're going to be good. You still live at home, right? You can afford that, right? $700, what?
Dude, when you put it like that,
it's not that bad.
$750.
You're young. You can do it.
I can still eat and stuff.
I'm good. I'm good. Just stay still really quick. Now, this might slow down your plans for the future, but it's going to be totally fine because you're going to look really, really good, okay?
Slow down. I'm going to go fast. I don't know about you.
But just stay there, okay? Yeah, you look good in that
Maserati.
You look great. Hey, you know what? I think you should probably buy your family some more Christmas gifts this year.
More Christmas gifts. That makes sense.
You can buy like $3,000 worth of gifts and just put them on layaway.
$3,000.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
It would be.
You could show
It'd
up
be
at the
crazy.
Family reunion like the best person ever,
like a
right?
boss, though?
Crock pot
like a
to
boss?
Auntie,
oh, stop. Come
new
on now.
TV to uncle.
Come on now.
Golf clubs for dad,
Yo,
right?
He want a back scratcher. I already know.
Oh, that's, you electric, can put that on there, too.
Electric. Yeah.
Why don't you give them both? And then you can just pay like $400 extra dollars a month. And then it's going to be fine. You still live at home, right?
Shh.
It's not that bad. You're going to look really, really good with all of those presents driving
you're right,
up in
I
your
am.
Maserati.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You're going to look great.
I might need another car, bigger trunk.
Another car? That sounds good. And you know what? I know you're in school, so you probably need like a top-of-the-line laptop.
Oh,
you know,
stop.
They have those ones that have like all the features, and you can
all
probably sync it up to this little doohickey that you're also paying about $50 a month for.
Doohickey.
So you're going to be fine. Now, I know this might slow you down even more. Here, can you hold that for me? Yeah, it might be a little bit more challenging, but you can make it there in like the next 70 years, right?
70.
You're 25 years. I don't know. All right, you look great. So continue on your journey to your 25-year plan.
You know, like, I can't really move.
Yeah, you're good though.
Like,
you're
how
good.
Am I supposed to drive the car? I can't get in there.
It's your problem now.
No, you're what?
I don't know. This is just what I do. I'm dead.
This
okay.
is what you,
see you
do.
Later.
Okay.
It's just what I do. I'm debt. Can you turn to someone and say, that's just what it does? It puts you in bondage. And it's the truth. The power of debt. And today I want to talk about, and this is a new series we're beginning, and that is that this is the next level of finances. And God wants to get you out of debt. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We have our new grow books. We only have 200 on premise. And that means that these grow books are an everyday thing where you can get into the principles of what we're learning, as well as they also have the tools to teach you how to do a budget, go through a monthly review. You don't want to miss the grow book. And they're out in the foyer. If we don't have any more, then you can purchase them online, and they're available for you. They're actually ordering them from Canada, West Virginia. They're being ordered because they're going to help challenge and change your life. Can you turn to someone and say, debt kills?
Debt kills.
That is the truth. So this next level that we're talking about is learning how to get out of debt. The title of our series called Spent. Turn to someone and say, it's all spent. That's right. The national debt is $22 million. In fact, if you take all the debt from all the states and the national debt, our debt in America is $126 trillion, not million, $1 trillion. It's amazing to realize the cost of debt. In fact, right now, just the national debt, if we all pay $76,000, we can get America out of debt. Yeah, I thought you'd be excited about that. The Federal Reserve reports shows that people with a college degree carry on average $8,200 in credit card debt. Those who attend college but didn't graduate, $4,700 in credit card debt. High school graduates carry on average of $4,600 in credit card debt, while those with no high school diploma carry $3,800 in credit card debt. If you take a credit card at $4,600 at 17% interest, it's only going to take you about 15 years to pay that off. Isn't it amazing the power of debt? You know, back when we first started the United States of America, Adams, he put his plan together, and this is what he said. He said, keep Americans out of debt, keep them free. In the 1900s, our president, I actually have the book that proves it all, he changed the way America thinks. He started changing things because the mentality was, get Americans in debt, then we can control them. The more debt that's in your life, you are actually incarcerating yourself. And what's happened in America today, in fact, I deal with it in church world all the time, the average church has about 8 to 9% tithers in the church. That means that 92% to 91% of the church at large does not tithe. When you ask them about why they don't tithe, most of them will tell you it's because I can't afford to tithe because they're in so much debt. Debt will destroy everything about you. It will destroy your family. In fact, what you're going to see here, even in the text we're going to cover, is that debt is actually generational. Not only generational in the passing down, but also generation in the impartation, which means we teach our children that debt is okay, so now their level of debt is even going to be higher than ours. There is a need to change the mentality within the church. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Turn to someone and say, debt is bad.
Debt is bad.
Tell somebody else, I want to get out of debt. Come on, tell somebody else, I want to get out of debt. Debt is actually consuming our families and consuming our country. In fact, here's some words that best describe debt. Owned, squeezed, stress, enslaved, fear, depression, worry, and overwhelmed. I don't know about you, I've seen so many people, they just absolutely lose sleep over their debt level. All of a sudden, they start getting calls and calls, and they stop even answering their phones. Why? Because everyone's trying to collect on the debt that they owe. I'm here to tell you that God wants you out of debt. I said, God wants you out of debt. I can't hear you. I said, God wants you out of debt. I can't hear you. I said, God wants you out of debt. Tell somebody next to you, God wants you out of debt. Our text is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. So this is a woman whose husband was a preacher. And this is what happened. The Bible says, she cried out to Elisha, the prophet, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. So this is what the wife is saying. She's saying, you know what? I'm going to call out to the prophet. She called up Elisha. She said, Elisha, ching, ching, ching. Elisha, we got ourselves a problem. She said, Elisha, my husband, as you know, was a man of God. My husband was a good man. He feared God. But something has happened. He's died. The Bible says, and the creditor is coming to take my sons, both of them, and put them into slavery. I'm here to tell you that debt will always put you into slavery. And when we're not wise, we can actually affect our generations to where they too will be placed into slavery, or they will be placed into imprisonment because of the debt that we carry. And it's time as believers to have a mind shift. It's time to start thinking like God thinks, and that God does not want you in debt. God wants you to be a lender and not a borrower. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Turn to someone and say, I want to get out of debt. We live in a society where credit cards, man, they're being dished out like candy. You know, Corinne's not been at our house for, oh my goodness, she's been married, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 months, she's been married, and she was in Florida for 2 years, and we kept getting, you know, she was in Bible college, we kept getting credit card offers in the mail for her. We just threw them all away. They're offering all of these college students credit cards, man. They're offering them. They have a credit limit. And what they're finding out is this. 36% of students have credit card debt before they graduate college. It's amazing to realize right now what's happening in our society. And that is that debt is so powerful, it is literally putting people into stockades. Brother Bruce. I'm ready. No, not yet. There you go. One more piece. One more, sir. You want that new car, right? Yeah. I have a bicycle that's worth a new car. Here we go. Yeah. What's amazing is debt is going to put you into a position where you cannot move freely any longer. I did. I threw away the key.
What?
What? You become a prisoner to debt. Yeah, you can find that, but I've got the key if I need it. I'm going to get that key. I'm concerned because what's happening is the believers in the church world today are no different from the people of the world. And I think a lot of it is training. We haven't trained the body of Christ. That debt is not a friend for you. That debt is an enemy. Now, I do know this, and I will say this. There are some types of debt, and we're going to cover them next week, some type of debt that is not bad. But majority of debt that people carry in America today is literally putting them as prisoners, and they're now owned. What is so powerful is that when you are in this, when you are being owned by your debt, there is nothing you can't do. Do you realize you've got to go to work? Quiet down. And no matter, come on now, no matter what you do, no matter how nice a person you are, no matter if you're a man of God, no matter if you're, what are you going to do about it?
I don't
know. The moment you start getting incarcerated by debt, then literally they can do whatever they want to you. I mean, literally, they can do anything they want.
I like you. I pay my
bills. You can pay your bills all you want, but I own you until it's paid off. You're going to find that debt will put you in a posture, in a position where your freedom is now limited, and it's limited to be a giver like God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he, that for God so loved the world that he, God so loved the world that he, God by nature is a giver. God loves to give. God loves to bless. But what happens to us as Americans, what's happened to us as believers, is that we've not thought about the power of debt. So we've gotten so far in debt that when it's time to tithe, you say, I can't. Or really what it is, I don't have the faith to step out on nothing to land on something because I got myself in some jail. But then when it comes time to be a giver, come on now, we're talking about sowing. Remember, your tithe is like plowing, but your seed is your sowing. The seed is what brings increase, not your tithe. Whoop, can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. Tithe is giving back what's not yours. The tithe is holy unto the Lord, but the seed is what brings increase. But you can't bring seed if you're incarcerated. You can't bring seed if you're having to always deal with your creditors, and now they literally own your life and your breath. What are you trying to do? Now listen, this is no joke. He literally can't get out of here. And some of you are looking at your life and saying, how am I going to get out of it? I'm so far in debt now, I can't even breathe. And I want you to know that God is thinking about you and that God has a plan for you. In fact, we're going to talk about supernatural debt reduction. We're going to talk about how you can be a good steward of God's money next week. And this is what I want you to do. Next week, I want you to take all of your bills, and I want you to put them in a manila envelope. I don't want you to put amounts on there. I'm not interested in seeing your bills, but we're going to have you take a step of faith. Put all your bills in a manila envelope. Put your name on it, and at service, I want you to come put it at the altar. We're going to pray over your debt next week and believe for God to do a supernatural debt reduction, which I'm going to show you about at the end of the service with this text, that God is interested in getting you out of debt because God wants to get you out of prison. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and that includes money. God does not want you to have to always serve your master money. Whoop. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve, it doesn't, you know what? Everybody says, when you can't serve two masters, everybody thinks about the devil. That's not what the Bible says. You can't serve two masters, both God and mammon. What's mammon? Money. What happens is we get into this position where we're so far in debt, we've got to serve money. We've got to serve our creditors. We are now owned in every part of our life and wherever we go because we've got to pay somebody. Can I hear an amen? Now listen, I realize that there are times that debt is not negative, that debt actually is something you need to do. But I want you to also realize that the more debt you get into, the more you're a prisoner. We've got to believe that the God of the supernatural. Just got a great testimony last night. How a lady came to church, not a real church folk, and she came to the miracle service that we had here on that Friday night a few weeks ago. And she came to the miracle service and didn't really, I could tell, she really didn't know what was going on. But yet, we were doing what? We were praying that God would release supernatural miracles in our bodies. And she told me last night, in fact, she wrote it out for us. We have it on paper. She had blood clots through her lungs. So many blood clots, they said they couldn't even count them all. And she was on Coumadin, and she was on the blood thinner, and they figured it was going to take about 9 months, is what they told her, to get all of the blood clots out of her lungs, and that she was a walking time bomb, in essence. She came that night. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, not the name of his tabernacle, not the name of Michael Spencer, not the name of a religion, but in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every single name. We laid hands on her, and that Monday she went back for more pictures, and all of that was gone. If God cares enough to heal your body, God cares enough to heal your money. Can I hear an amen? If God can do a supernatural act to bring and to eliminate all of that from the lung. In fact, we got a little boy over here who's a miracle. Hudson should be dead how many times? But yet the little boy is sitting in church for the very first time right over there on your left. If God cares enough for healing a body, how much? Listen now, I've always heard Brother Ted say this. What's greater? What's greater, a soul or money? Soul. So if you can believe God for a soul, you can easily believe God for finances. And God wants you to understand that money plays a large role in your life, that you and I sell ourselves every single day. If you go to work, whether you realize it or not, you are selling yourself. You are ticklish. Your nose itches? You go to work every day, and every one of us sell ourselves for a price. Some of you at minimum wage, some of you at $15 an hour, which is close to minimum wage now. Some of you at $20 an hour, some of you 25, some of you, I know guys that make over $100 an hour. Listen, the fact is that you're still selling yourself. And you're either acquiring or you're being required. The money's going to go somewhere. It's either going to go to a creditor or you're going to be able to stockpile to where you're going to be able to give to every need and situation that comes in front of you. God loves to give. We've got to shift our minds from being people that are just in survival mode of just making enough money to live paycheck to paycheck to be men and women of God who are going to have a surplus, and we're going to teach you how to do that next week, how to have a surplus so that you will have the ability to give to every need that comes down the pike. That is the plan of God so that you can be a giver. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says this, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The word owe there is the Greek word ophilia. It is indebted to someone in a financial sense. The Lord is telling us, owe no man anything except love. And so many of us, man, we just go to the supermarket. Listen, you'll even use your credit card at the supermarket. I'm not talking about paying it off, because we're going to talk about that next week, being wise enough to use points. Jesus. My wife and I are going to go to Hawaii next year. Jesus. My wife and I are going to go to Hawaii next year free. All on points. Glory to God. It's because we use what's out there wisely. I'm going to teach you how to do that. But what I want you to recognize is if you're using your credit cards and it's constantly building up and not being paid off monthly, that you are literally putting yourself into this position. And now off to work you go. I owe. So off to work I go. You don't have a choice. Because now you're a prisoner to that credit card company. You're a prisoner to the banks. You're a prisoner to people that have lent you money. Have you ever had somebody you lent them money and they didn't pay you back? This is a factor now. We have got to get to the place. Have you ever borrowed money and not paid it back? Don't say nothing. We've got to know and recognize that debt is not the will of God. we had Brother Avanzini in. And Brother Avanzini taught us that message on precious and how precious it is when you become a giver that's going to change your life and your generations. The Bible goes on to say, to give rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. Here it is. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. I want you to see two things about this process here. The Bible says you'll lend to many nations. Now, there are a lot of preachers out there and even people out there that actually teach that all debt is sin. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. I'm going to prove it to you right with this verse. There are two things that are clear in this verse. Number one, the Bible says that you shall lend to many. If debt was a sin and you were the lender, then you're helping them sin. So debt is not a sin. But debt can be so unwise because it eliminates you from God's prosperity and God's blessing. The Bible says also in Corinthians, it makes a statement where in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful, that is morally legitimate, permissible, but not all things are beneficial or advantageous. I'm here to tell you, it is not a command that you don't get in debt, but it's wisdom that you do not go in debt. That's not American, but that's Bible. It is wise not to go in debt. It is wise not to go in debt. It is wise not to go in debt. I'm telling you, it's so easy. You go to the department store. Let's just say you go to a really nice high-end department store like Nordstrom's, and you find a shirt and a jacket. You find a pair of pants. And man, you're thinking, well, you know, my birthday's coming. I'll take my birthday money and I'll apply it to what I'm going to buy. But I'll put it on their credit card so I get an extra 10% off. Then all of a sudden what happens is that extra 10% off doesn't happen. Or excuse me, does happen. It goes on the credit card, but you don't get as much back on your birthday as you thought. So you don't pay anything back. Now you're paying 27% interest on $1,100. And now how long is it going to take you to get out of that debt? Listen, I know because I was there. That's my type of thinking. You see, that's what happens. Listen, if you're the spender, you shouldn't be handling the money. I remember when I was handling the money, all our bills were paid, but there was not a dime extra. My wife took over, and I had enough to buy a Harley. That's true. Why? Because I believed at the end of every month when there was extra, Dick's Sporting Goods needed a visitation. I know it's sick. Some of you are with me. Some of you are with me. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to handle the money anymore, and I got an allowance. As an adult, my wife would give me an allowance. Woohoo! It was safe. But I learned because I was taught, I love my dad, but I was taught by my dad through generational impartation that you get what you want, you get the best. And as long as you can somewhat pay for it, and I always said this to my wife, honey, what are you talking about? It's only $25 a month. And she would always say to me, but how much is it total? And how long will it take to pay off? I said, well, does that really matter? It's only $25 a month. We can afford $25 a month. And she would say no, so I would do it anyways. And I dug myself a hole. Are you talking?
No, jeez.
Don't move.
Not a turkey.
I got a shoe for sale. Anybody want a shoe? We got a 5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5. Hey, 5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5. We got a 5-5-5-5-5-6. We got a 6. We got a 6. Oh, got a 6. 6-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5- and you don't make your payment, they can do whatever they want. Debt is not your friend. And the biggest decision you and I have to make is, and I had to make it. I had to make a decision that I was not going to be in debt anymore. I had to make a decision that I was not going to continue to do that lifestyle. And let me tell you, it was a challenge, especially when I saw something that I wanted. I wanted to just go out and buy it. It's only $25 a month. But all of a sudden, you're starting to build yourself such debt, and it's going to take so many years to pay it off. And what happens is literally your credit score takes a dent. You do know that before you get married, you should check someone's credit score. Now, let me tell you something. What's powerful about that is your credit score literally has direct impact on your buying ability. Bad credit score means you can't buy a house. You'll find a house is called good debt as long as you can generate equity. We'll teach you that stuff next week. But here we are right now. So many people can't buy anything because their credit score is so poor. And their credit score is so poor because they've been unwise with their finances or something has happened. Let me just share with you what happened to us last year. Many of you know already. Last year is just about a month ago last year. They can do whatever they want to. What are you going to do? My wife and I, she was coming back from Texas, and I was at the house, and that hurricane come up through. I was sitting in the man cave, and at 10 p.m., my dog barked at the sliding glass door. I told him to shut up because there was nobody there. So he kept barking at that door. I finally went and turned the light on, and the water on my sliding glass door was this high. Within less than an hour or so, it was a foot and a half high. What I didn't know was down the street, a log went across the creek, and it literally diverted all of the water from that creek to my house, and now, literally, I was living on an island. I've always wanted to live on an island. I was living on Wynkoop Creek Island, glory to Jesus. My house was completely surrounded by not water, rushing water, so much I couldn't have left if I wanted to. Rhonda landed at about midnight. I told her, don't come home. You can't get here. There's no way to our house. And literally, there was no way to my house. It subsided around 1, and then all of a sudden at 2 o'clock, another burst came, and now it's 2 feet up on my sliding glass door. Got pictures to prove it. And I'm realizing that now I'm in a position where if that slider breaks, I'm going to be a lot of trouble. Of course, everything subsided. I called the insurance company. Insurance company came out, and they said about $80,000 in damage. Many of you do know. Some of you don't. My wife and I didn't live home for over 2 months. We lived from hotel to hotel. The insurance company was not sending money. They were enjoying the process. They said, we're going to pay you, but you got to get in process. So all we had was credit cards. We jacked up at least $40,000 in credit cards, having to pay up all of the contractors that are coming in. Now, we were promised this money. We know we had this money coming in, but I had to use the credit cards. My credit score at that point was 780, and man, I was excited about a 780. Now, my wife, we have bickering fights all the time because hers is over 800. I hate her for that, but besides, you know, God will make a way. And I'm realizing that all of a sudden, as I'm generating all this, we're making every payment, that now my credit score drops 100 points. I called them up. I said, why is it dropping? They said, because you're using your credit cards. I said, I have to use my credit cards. But when this payment comes in, I'll be able to pay them all off. And, of course, it came in. I paid everything off. There was not a dime on our credit cards, debt-free in that aspect. Glory to God, we knew it was going to happen. We had to get paid. But what happened is my credit score didn't jump back up. Now my credit score is like 724. I've made it about halfway from, a little bit more than halfway from where I was, but I'm still lower than I want to be. I'm still lower than I was, all because my credit cards, debt affects your life. And I'm here to tell you today, God does not want you in debt. I'll take everyone I can get. God does not want you in debt. Amen. I said, God does not want you in debt. He doesn't want you in debt because that means somebody else owns you. You see, when you and I are in debt, somebody else now controls your life. You have no freedom. You have no extra. I want to bless you, but I can't bless you. I want to pay my tithes, but man, it's going to take such a step of faith, a leap of faith. I want to challenge you. Always take that leap of faith. That's the only time in the scripture that God says, test me in this thing. He'll prove himself. You start tithing, you'll watch God turn your money around. But until you and I make our step, then we are literally incarcerated by our debt load, and now we are owned by banks, by creditors, by other people. We're owned by all of this when God's plan is for you and I to be owned by him and nobody else. And this is why God wants you to be in a position to where you can give when God puts it on your heart, and you're not going to have to wonder what you're going to do next. There is nothing more fun than giving. I love to give. My wife and I are in the position now. Last year, we gave one-third of our salary. We were able to give one-third. That's 20% over our tithe. Why did we do that? We love it. There's nothing more exciting than watching a John Avanzini come in and being able to dish out some money that God lays on our heart. There's nothing more exciting than to find somebody in the congregation that's in need and be able to bless them with money, because we can, because we've been wise stewards with what God has given us. We're not in mega debt. We're not sinking. We're not drowning. And this is where God wants to bring you and I to. And that place is, now listen, I believe God wants to take me the rest of the way that my house is paid off. Can I hear an amen? That I don't have any car payment. Can I hear an amen? I believe this is what God, that I don't have a Harley payment. Ooh, that's a holy moment right there. God does not want you owned by anyone, and he doesn't want me either. But until you and I make the decision that debt is not our friend, we're going to continue to acquire it. We're not going to see it as an enemy of our lives. We will never be the loner. We will always be the debtor. God wants to shift that in you. He wants to change our minds. He wants to prosper us to a position that if somebody needs something, you can give it to them, not expecting it even in return.
Like a key.
Like a key. I'm raising your interest rate is what I'm doing. I mean, let's be honest. You know, I've been a good creditor. And, you know, you've missed one payment. You were a day and a half late on your payment. And I know you say that it got lost in the mail. But because, you know, I was giving you 0% interest for a while, I've decided because you were a day and a half late that now you're going to be 27% interest, and you're now going to have to pay back all the interest that you didn't pay in the beginning. Is that all you got to say is, hmm? He said, I think that one's lower than my other one. I'm telling you, some of you are in that position where you're like, you're saying, this is me. I'm so far in, I don't know if I'm ever going to get out. And I want you to hear me. God wants you out. God will help you out. But you've got to make the decision that you want to be out. Do you want to be out of debt? So God wants you out of debt. The fact is that you've got to really want to be out of debt, because the opportunity is going to be there. Every time you turn around, the opportunity to get in more debt is available. And let me tell you, there is nobody like me that has good enough reasons to get in debt. You ready? Fact is debt shapes you, doesn't it? Debt actually shapes you. You see, if you make a decision that I want to get out of debt, if you make a decision that you want to start handling God's money, can I hear an amen? For if you're the owner of money, when it's out, it's gone. But when God's the owner of your money, then God has all things and access is available for you. You've heard me give the example before, but I'm going to end in just a few moments. Who's more wealthy, a person that is given $1 million or the person who's given the key to a department store that says whenever you want to get in, you can? One day that money's going to run out, but that department store will always be open to you. You have greater access, not because of ownership. You have access because you have a God in heaven who's the controller of your finances. And when you're a good steward, God will bless you going in. He'll bless you going out. He'll bless you in your storehouse. He'll bless you in your basket. The blessings are going to chase you down. They're going to trip you up because you're a child of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I said, can I hear an amen? Amen. You got to make a decision. I want out of debt. And when you determine to get out of debt, I want you to realize what's going to happen. God is going to partner with you. 2 Kings chapter 4, the remaining part of that verse is this. She called up the prophet and she said, listen, I'm so far in debt, they're going to take my kids and put them in slavery. Until it's paid off, they'll be indentured servants. And this is what the prophet said. The prophet said, what do you have in your house? She says, I only have a little oil. I want you to know God can take your little and do a miracle with what you got. God can take what looks like nothing to somebody else and do miraculous with it. And he took that little bit of oil and he said to the woman's sons, go gather all the cisterns you can, all the vases you can, as many as you can. And they went out and grabbed as many as they wanted. They brought him into the house, and supernaturally, God filled every one of them with oil. They were able to sell it and get out of debt and then live in a blessed life. Why? Because God will work with you when you make the decision to get out of debt. God will work with you when you make a decision to be a good steward. God will work supernatural debt cancellation in your life if you make a determination that I refuse to be controlled by anybody but God himself. And if God wants me to give, I'll have the ability to give because I've been a good steward of finances. This is what God has for you. You've got to make a determination in your own heart. Some of you are going to struggle with this deeply. You know, we did a fast one year and I swore to God we would never do it again, and we're not. We're never going to do it again. Listen, I'm never doing that one again. It's horrible. It's a horrible fast. It's called a financial fast. Has anybody ever heard of the financial fast? It's hell. It was conjured up by Satan himself, I'm sure. This is how it works. You ready? Some of you need to do it to break the power of debt in your life. What? Was that a Carla? Oh, I'm sorry. Carla Fisher in the back. Financial fast does this. You pay your bills, but anything above your bills, when you want to go spend it, you give it instead. So for one whole month, you don't do anything extra. If you want to go to the movies, you know that's a $50 bill. You give that as seed. Or it depends how big your family is. I'm sorry, I'm seeing Kayla go, what? $50? It's $100 and $200, $1,000? I hated the financial fast, but let me tell you something. It really did something for me. It broke the ability in my life. I broke something in my life. And I'm here to tell you, some of you need to do a financial fast. And that is, don't do anything above your normal bills. And whatever you want to do for fun, stay home and sow that money for one whole month. You're going to find that it's going to break the back of debt building in your life. You're going to find that it will take authority over that spirit. Come on now. It is that fleshly drive to appease yourself. Come on now. There is no such thing as shopping therapy. Listen, I'm a shopaholic too. Put me at the sporting store. I can spend $1,000 before you can blink an eye. I looked at that new clothing the other day, that new hunting clothes, Sitka, and I said, Jesus, that looks so nice. And I said to myself, you deserve to be warm. And so I went and I looked at all those clothes, and it was going to cost $1,500 for hunting clothes. How much beef can I buy from the Banfields for $1,500? And I said to myself, self? No! It was a hard choice. Went to the Harley shop the other day. I needed an oil change. If you've been to the Harley shop before, you know an oil change is not $1.25 for a Harley Davidson. And then they found the whim needed to be done, which is my wireless thing that is $600. And I said to myself, self, nope. Man, you should have warned me. She'd have locked that and left me here all afternoon. I'd have starved to death. And I said, you know, I can just put a little bit on the card and maybe, you know, I'll pay the rest on the cash. But I have the cash. And I tried to talk myself into it. And I said, no, no more debt. So I took the cash in my pocket and I went down to the Harley shop and I got deal after deal after deal and I owed only $70. And I said, to God be the glory. And if you know Harley, that is a miracle. But I'm here to tell you, you've got to make a decision to get out of debt. You've got to make a decision that I'll refuse to be owned. Young people, hear me clearly. You do not have to be indentured for the rest of your life. What does that mean? You do not have to be owned for the rest of your life in debt because you've spent when you were younger and were not wise. You can be a wise. I'm going to teach you how to do it next week. I'm going to teach you how to build a budget next week. Oh my goodness, it is so stinking practical. You don't want to be here. But I'm going to teach you how to build a budget so that you can live and not just live. This is how our family lives. This is how my children live. Cody bought his first house at 20 years old. Chad bought his first house at 22 years old. And Corinne just bought her house. She's 24 years old. They all own their own houses, and mommy and daddy didn't help them. Why? Because they learned what I'm going to teach you next week. I learned it from my wife. Should let her preach it. But I'm here to tell you today, you deserve to be free. Turn to someone and say, you deserve to be free. Come on, tell somebody else, I hate debt. Tell somebody else, I'll be owned by nobody but Jesus Christ. Tell somebody else, I'm a lender, not a borrower. This is who you are as a believer. If you'll bow your heads with me this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something with me. That is, some of you are in the room, you do not know Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That means there's a price to sin. You see, you go into debt every time you sin. What is that debt? That means that somebody's got to pay for that sin. But what I love about my Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I love the fact that Jesus came to pay the price that we owe, that we don't even have enough money to pay for. Can I hear an amen? Today, if you do not know Jesus, I want you to realize this, you're in debt. But Christ has paid for you to be free. Free from what, Pastor? Free from your sin. Someone's got to pay for that sin. If you choose not to serve God, then you'll pay for that sin. But if you choose Jesus, he's already paid for it. He'll wash your sins away. He'll let you know that you're a son and daughter of the Most High God, and you can serve him the rest of your life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to know the one who wants you to be free in every area of your life. If you'd like Jesus in your life, I want you to slide your hand up right now. Say, I want Jesus to save my heart. I want to go to heaven. I want to know God. Thank you very much. I see those hands. Thank you. You can put them right back down. Thank you, sir, over on that side. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you very much in the back. Is there anyone else? Come on. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm so excited for this series of messages. It's going to help us all so much. This is Mindy. And today, if you raise your hand for salvation, can you play a little bit louder? I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to make sure that you make your step. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And I want you to realize, if you'll come, that Jesus will solidify this in your heart so strong, you'll never have to question that you're serving God. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Awesome, right here, guys. Prayer team, come to the front of the altar. Up, right here, baby girl. You raise your hand for salvation, come right out of your chair right now. Come on. Very good. Oh, there's more. I saw more hands go up. This is your moment. Don't you miss it. Well, I'm embarrassed. What are you embarrassed about? We all walked here, baby. We all walked here. Give him a hand clap. Sir, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Best day of your life. Would you follow Mindy right over there? We're going to pray with you. Yes, you did, baby girl. I love you. Give me a hug.
I hear you. I really have heard.
I know you have, and you're growing. Well, I mean, I went through a lot of training. I did. You'll be right over this young lady. We'll pray with you right there. If you need prayer for anything this morning, maybe you're overwhelmed by debt and you need God to step in now, not next week. I want to pray with you. We're going to pray with you around the altar. If you need healing in your body, God will heal you. If God will touch your debt, God will heal your body. Amen? Let me pray over you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We declare, God, no sickness is allowed in our house. We declare we'll prosper. And as Sophia said, we'll be wealthy for the glory of God. Lord, we break the power of debt in this house. In Jesus' name, to God be the glory. Lord, we'll serve you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout it. We love you. Make sure you bring someone to the house. Bring your bills next week. We'll see you soon.
Tell somebody
don't forget,
about Jesus.
Don't forget to get your cupcake on the way out to celebrate
free.
Pastor's appreciation.
Gave you the victory.